We go to one of the best in the business, but when you actually talk about the best in the business and Jason Stark, there really isn't any argument. So we are pleased, as always, to be joined by Jason. Good morning, sir.
No argument here.
What's happening, man? I'm sure there's an argument, but thank you.
No, we're not going to make
not
it.
Not one on this show.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay.
6.5 out right now. Let me ask you just a big picture question, Jason, about the difference in the first half of this season and the second half of the season for the Philadelphia Phillies as they're struggling right now just to stay above water and not lose out in the standings to the Nationals.
Well, I mean, it's pitching, obviously, starting pitching specifically. And luck. Think about all those one-run games that they won early. And, you know, I think that even this front office, as they looked at the season, said to themselves, like, we've won a lot of games we shouldn't have won. But those wins are in the bank. This is not a very good division. We've got an opportunity. It's time to try to win. But they just haven't played over any mistakes. And they haven't pitched their way beyond any mistakes in the second half. That, I think that's probably the most basic way to explain it, but there's a lot going on.
Chase, are you happy? No, I'm not going to ask you if you're happy. What? You're always happy. That's right. You're always happy, Chase. Let's put it this way. I haven't been on board with Gabe since day one. And I don't understand. I said I had to give it time. I've given it time. I'm not saying he needs to be out. But overall, how would you grade him? Do your grading at the end of the season. And give me a grade on Gabe.
That's a hard one. I mean, he'd probably even give himself a C or C plus, something like that. He's, you know, it's been a work in progress. I think everybody expected that it would be. You know, people are reacting to a lot of stuff that we've never seen in Philadelphia. Hmm. And I think that's a big part of this. You have to recognize, though, that when you see him doing some of the stuff he does, so much of it has been mapped out for him by the people upstairs. And it's not just him making these decisions. It's a lot different era than when Charlie Manuel was sitting in that dugout.
All right, so that kind of begs the question, Jason, about next year. And you look at this team right now, and for all intents and purposes, it's done as far as making it to the postseason. But even looking at next year and the team, their perception of what they were, do you think that the Phillies look at how good of a shape they are next year the same now as maybe they thought at the start of the season?
No, of course not. I mean, they've got 6 months worth of evidence to draw from. And, you know, people overreact always. And I'm not just talking about people like us, but people in front offices, people in dugouts. Everybody overreacts to small samples, to a bad week and a bad month. And, look, it's been a bad month, obviously. But you've had 6 months of information to draw from. And this would be the part of this season that would frighten me the most, I think, if I were running this team. On baseballreference.com, they have a positional breakdown of every team by wins above average. The Phillies do not have a single position where they are above average.
Wow. Not one.
And it adds up. They're position players, right? Their position players add up as a group to minus 16 wins above average. That's the same as the Orioles, a team that's 60 games out of first place.
107 losses already.
And, that was shocking to me. I know that they've had some guys who've had disappointing years. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But it didn't really hit me that the whole group added up to that much disappointment until I looked at that.
All right, Chase, I want to ask you, if you look at this season as a whole for the Phillies, and going into it, we looked at it as not what it became, where they were in the fight for a playoff race, which was absolutely surprising. To us, I think it was more of see what you have, see what the young guys can do, and moving forward. who's helped themselves the most? Now, I take out Nola. I'll take out Rhys Hoskins. Sir Anthony is the obvious answer, so I'm going to take him out. What player has helped them the most from this season moving forward that you can say, no, he'll stay as a piece?
What position player?
Yes.
To me, the only two position players who've really taken a step forward are Nick Williams and Michael Franco. And I don't think there's any assurance that Michael is part of the future of the franchise, even short term. And, you know, the future of the outfield in general is up in the air. A lot could change, you know, and Bryce Harper could change it. There are a lot of things that could change it. Do you want to keep Rhys Hoskins in left field? If you don't, what happens to Santana? If you go around the field, Cesar Hernandez has been a disappointment, obviously. They found out Scott Kingery could play short, but he's barely got a 600 OPS. Odubel's taken a big step back offensively and defensively. Aaron Altair has had a lost year. J.P. Crawford has really had a lost year. Jorge Alfaro, I think they're still intrigued by all his skills, but he's still got a long way to go. I mean, it's really hard to make a case that anybody on the diamond outside of Rhys Hoskins has made a statement that says, build around me.
Wow.
I'm a guy you're going to win with.
And you knew that going into this year anyway.
My goodness, Jason.
It sound like a lost season.
Well, you know, it's just been a funny year because,
yeah,
you know, winning is a process. You don't measure winning in a straight line. And they've made progress as an organization because they did find out they have a lot of pitching. Right, they have a ton of pitching, and they still got a lot of money. But, you know, if you take a step back and really look at what they've been over 5.5 months, they're hitting .238 as a team. Their defensive issues we've talked about 1,000 times. They've lost 10 games. They led after 7 innings. That's just not a playoff team. Not yet. And so they've got to realign defensively. You know, you've seen a lot of the stuff that they've done in the minor leagues to try to get everybody on the same page offensively because they have they just have so many players that haven't been comfortable hitting deep in counts, which is what they've been preached to do. So they've got to work on that. They've got a lot to figure out, but I mean, to think that they're not in position to win at some point, I think is an overreaction.
Hey, Jason.
They've got a long way to go.
I'm sorry. I wanted to sneak this in real quick. Do you think that at some point in the offseason, at the end of this season, the Phillies are considering eating Jake Arrieta's contract?
No. You really think he's been that bad?
Well, to be fair, Jamie wanted that one in there, so I'm going to blame it on Jamie.
No, there's no way. $45 million left. You know,
I meant more like into next season, not in the offseason.
I don't think he's been as bad as you think he is. He's not the same guy as he was in Chicago. That's obviously. He hasn't had a good finish. But nobody's been hurt by defense as much as he has because he's putting more balls in play and more balls on the ground than anybody on the staff. And the average on balls in play when he's out there is almost 50 points higher than it was with the Cubs 2 years ago.
Wow.
That's incredible, right? You know, if he had the Cubs defense behind him, we'd be having a different conversation.
Excellent stuff as always, Jason. We'll look forward to next week. Thanks again, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jason.
Jason Stark on the Comcast Business Hotline.